You are listening to the Myth TV Cast. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Myth TV Cast. My name is Pat Davila. With me is my co-host, Dan Fry.
How's it going, Pat?
I'm excellent. Another 2 weeks. This time we're on time.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, we are streaming live on the Linux Link Tech Show Icecast server.
Nice.
Everybody listening live, welcome. It's cool that we're talking to everybody. I'm actually logged into three different IRC rooms right now. We're on the Linux Link Tech Show IRC. We're also in a lot of Linux Links IRC on Freenode, and also on the Linux Cranks room in Freenode. So if you guys want to talk to us, you got questions, you want to, you know, converse while we're talking here, just do that, and we'll try to respond to you. We appreciate it. So what's going on? Anything?
Not a whole lot.
Getting ready for OLF? Are you excited?
I am excited. I was sick all week, so I'm just getting ready to get back up to speed with everything and get ready to get out to Ohio.
There's a lot of sickness going around.
Yeah, my wife and my daughter had it, and then they gave it to me.
That's fun.
Yeah,
well, that's the problem when you have little kids, man, especially if they're like school age.
They go to
school and they get sick and then they come home and give it to everybody in the house.
Well, see, the one who's in school didn't get sick.
Go figure.
She just gave it to the rest of us, I guess.
She's just a carrier. You guys are the victims. But in all seriousness, I'm glad you're feeling better and glad your family's feeling better.
Thanks.
Let me see. Oh, I had a little bit of news. Let's see. Where shall I start? On the cable side, RCN, you got the letter. I got the letter. What did the letter say?
I wonder if you're going to be a little later or not, if we're like different regions or something
so.
I think
I was talking to the cable guy, and he says that they're doing it in phases depending upon what node you're connected to on their network. So just let everybody know what they said in the letter.
I got a nice little letter saying, hey, October 8th, you have to by October 8th, you have to have a box on every one of your TVs. And if you ask me, this is a... It's like a scheme or something like that. They're gonna charge you for every single box that you gotta have now. Luckily, they're kind of giving you a little bit of a deal. You can get up to four boxes for $8.95 a month. So
they give you the first box for free, basically. Mm-hmm. Now I already had a box on my standard def TV in the family room where my Myth box is hooked up.
Yeah,
it's that Motorola DCT700.
Right.
And I called up and I asked them, can I just come down to their office and just pick up a box myself? They're like, oh no, we want somebody to come out to.
Really? Because they let me go right down to the office.
I don't know what the
right deal up
is.
By the airport. I went and just picked it up.
Right. They wanted to send somebody. So hey, whatever.
Did they get you for the $49.95 for the service call?
They didn't charge me anything,
which
was nice. The guy showed up. They pretty much subcontract out their work.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from this was named Gus, and he was a pretty cool guy. I was talking to him, and he seemed pretty knowledgeable, and he seemed appreciative that I was fairly knowledgeable. I had a couple of coax cables sitting around. I asked him to crimp them for me, and the guy was nice enough to do that, and he also gave me a four-way and a two-way switch at no cost. So the guy was very cool. I appreciated it. And basically, the reason why I got a four-way splitter is I ordered an HD home room box. And I've been watching it on eBay, like the auctions, and it seems the auctions are like... at the end, $120, $130. I'm like, I'm going to spend $130 for a freaking used box.
Right.
I might as well just spend, $145 is what the cheapest price right now.
Right,
on Tiger Direct. Everywhere else is going for about $150. Mm. And you get a brand new box and you get a warranty, with plus cables.
Right.
And, no coffee stains or other DNA stains or anything. So I said, screw it. I ordered it. So it's coming late as Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the cables coming out of the splitter here in the back room here with Lincoln's. And I got the cables all ready to go. I'm going to plug it in and should be good.
That'd be nice. I'm looking forward to hearing how it works.
I'm excited. I've been reading up on their... I've read the wiki page. I also looked at their documentation, and it looks like it's basically a dual camera box, and it's network attached. So basically, you run your coax to the box, either cam if you have digital cable and you have open channels, or over the air ATSC. There are versions for different regions. I know they have a DVB version for Europe, and I believe also for Australia as well. Mm-hmm. The product, the manufacturer, Silicon Dust, is the company. They're actually from New Zealand. I was on Linux Cranks this weekend. And I was talking to Peter 64, who's Australian. He was telling me that for the longest time they were selling that product in the United States only, even though the manufacturer is in New Zealand.
Really?
Very odd. I mean, now they offer it, you know, years later, but for the longest time, you couldn't get it over there.
I wasn't aware of that.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
So that now they have versions for the different regions, depending on where you are. And it's actually a very nice box. I mean, you talk to, like, some people, and if, you know, on the Myth TV users mailing list or any of the the users for the different, you know, forums and bulletin boards for the different Myth-specific distros, and everybody speaks fairly highly of it. Mm-hmm. Basically, I was reading up on it, and you can't do static IP. You need a server to give out an IP address,
mm-hmm.
which is no big deal. I could flip it on in my router, and it should pick it up.
Right.
You can also hook it up directly to a computer. See, the normal setup is basically you have the lines coming in from the coax, you plug it in, you have your power hooked up, and you run a network cable into your switch.
Mm-hmm.
And over the network, Myth TV, as well as other, you know, applications that DVR related, should be able to pick it up over the network.
Right.
And that's basically what it is. It, you know, the box will, I guess, pushes out the stream, the video stream, to whatever box you got it set up as.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's CAM, so the video is already encoded already, MPEG-2.
Right, right.
You know, it's just like any other CAM card type setup. You know,
awesome.
Yeah, so it'll be a dual tuner. I was looking at the documentation. The Ubuntu documentation for Mythbuntu is actually very good. You know, some companies, you know, some of these electronics manufacturers, capture cards and whatnot, they have firmware, but they only for Windows or Mac. Mm. And these guys actually have a Linux firmware utility, and it's in the Ubuntu repositories.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and if you go to a post in the RC about this for the HD Home Run, and I'll also put it in the show notes on the bulletin board posting, you could see the very detailed instructions. Basically, you set up the device, you say tuner 0, tuner 1, and you do a scan, you get your channels, and then you go into your configuration like you do any other CAM configuration.
Right.
What's also very nice is I looked on their website. They have some utilities where you can type in your zip code and you pick your service, either over the air or your cable service, whatever mm-hmm. company you're subscribed to. They will actually come back and list the frequencies for the channels that are open for you.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's very good. So,
that'd be nice, because even when you go to scan for your other channels, you can almost take that, put it, you can import in for, say, if you have a, you know, the PC, you know, HDTV 5500.
Right, you can use that information.
You could use that same
cards.
Information.
Absolutely.
You could just import it in instead of having to sit there and scan for it all and load up all the other information. I just did it last weekend, because when I got this letter saying, hey, you're no longer going to be able to use this, you're going to have to get a box on everything, I just basically went in and shut off my PVR 150.
Did you
and
already?
But there's the one bad thing about the interface is there's real no easy way to just go in and say delete one card. Not that I've found anyway. You more or less can delete all the cards, or add a card. You know, there's no just delete this one card inside of there. And so I just said, you know what, screw it. I'll just go and blow away my FireWire and my PCHD TV 5500. You know. Set up. I'll just redo them. It didn't take very long to redo them. You know?
No, not at all. No. If you're familiar with the process and you've done it a couple times, it's a piece of cake, actually.
Yeah. But along with this cutover on October 8th, they are expanding their lineup completely. And so I went out and made sure Schedules Direct already has that information out there, so you can go in and pull in that information. You know, just basically you're going to have to rescan the channels, basically create a new input source, you know, for Schedules Direct that has the new lineup associated with it, and then do a Myth Field database with update channels, you know, on there, and that will then go in and update all the channels.
Speaking of reshuffling the lineups, I noticed that on the Schedules Direct lineup for the RCN, who we're both subscribed to,
mm-hmm.
they had changes and additional channels in there like a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed.
Oh yeah, there was a lot.
I got the cable guy gave me the printout of what they're doing.
Yeah, and, picked one of them up at the office myself.
And they're like massively changing the whole setup.
Oh yeah,
they're basically right now we have about 30 HD channels,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little more if you include the HD versions of like Showtime and HBO and whatnot.
Right.
Channel. But they're also they're going close to 100 channels.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think this is going to be the same kind of setup that they have in Philadelphia. So if you go to the Philadelphia listing on the RCN, you'll see all the channels. We're getting a whole slew of other HD channels that we didn't have before,
right?
Which is nice. It sucks that they're getting rid of the analog feed because, you know, up in my guest room, I just had the a little 21-inch TV up there.
Right.
You know, you just turn it on and you get, you know, below 100.
Right.
All the basic cable stations, you know, plus a couple of some of the news networks and whatnot. But, yeah, so at least RCN's doing us right by giving us at least one box for free without a cost.
Right.
So that's what I did. The guy came over and he set up another box, which is the same box that I have in the family room. And down here, I have the HD box. So at least that's decent. I mean, so conceivably, you could still use your PVR-150 if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, that's what I'm thinking I'm doing. I'm gonna build a similar box to what you have with the Ion box, but I'm going to actually throw a drive in there and put that PC or the PVR-150 in there.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. So
you're going to need a little bigger case then.
Yeah, I need a little bit bigger case, but not that much bigger. But I will use that. I'll basically set it up as a secondary back end. And front end, so that
I haven't done multiple back ends. Have you played?
No, I haven't. But I figured it'd be this way. You know, if somebody just wants to go there, they'll be able to watch. You know, TV. You know, right on that particular input itself, and they won't have to worry about. I know we tried it with yours, but doing it over the network. You know, from your upstairs to your downstairs on the Ion box itself. However, because I only have the one RCN box or the actual FireWire connection in the basement and the PC HETV 5500 card in there, that only gets the high def channels that are unencrypted cam. So depending upon if you're up there and you want to actually do that over the wireless network or over the wireless end network, you're only going to get a limited number of channels, or you're going to get everything. And if somebody happens to be watching something down in the basement down there, you're not going to be able to potentially watch something.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be able to watch something that's recorded.
Yeah.
You know,
if you have multiple people in the household watching
a couple
different TVs, you're going to need a second box.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's cool that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've really got multiple TVs and you have multiple people watching.
Right.
You want them to have their own box so they don't conflict.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, but it's nice having front ends. You know, I've read up a little on the back ends, and some of the things that you can do with it, what I've read about it, is you can have multiple back ends doing recordings.
Mm-hmm.
One, the thing is, you have to have one master back end, correct?
Yeah, so that's one master. That's going to be the one in the entertainment center in the basement. Yeah.
That's where the database is, where it keeps a record of all the shows recorded and everything.
Right, right.
So I guess with a secondary back end, you can either have recordings, and I guess they push back up to the main back end.
Yep.
And some of the other things that people do with them, I've read that they do, they'll have like a secondary machine just to do commercial flagging solely. Now, the commercial flagging is pretty damn fast on my box.
And honestly, I have it go on the fly. I could be recording two things and commercial flagging on the fly while it's recording it, and I can still watch something else. I don't notice any hiccups in anything. So it I honestly don't notice any difference between if I were to set the commercial flagging to go after a recording complete or while it's actually recording.
Right. So. Usually, you know, when there's a live show that you're recording, I do the 20-minute thing. You come in 20 minutes later,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be able to watch the whole program, you know, the 40 minutes of actual programming,
mm-hmm.
straight through without any commercials.
Yep,
skip right through it.
Exactly.
I've done that many times, and you know, it handles it pretty well. Now, as far as the high def versus the standard def with the commercial flagging, I haven't seen any major difference. Slightly, maybe a little slower with the high def. Very slight, though.
Yeah.
And it usually churns it up pretty high. I guess it gets a high priority.
Mm-hmm.
Once the recording is done, it gets the high priority.
Right.
Because it doesn't need to encode it because it's encoded already.
Right.
So it's just doing the flagging algorithm and doing its thing.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. So basically what's going to happen is once they actually do this lineup change, we're going to have to, for anything that's cam, we're going to have to rescan everything.
Yep.
You can't get around
that. And I'm really just hoping that they're not gonna encrypt everything at that point.
Well, we're not gonna get anything more than what we're getting now. I think, which is basically the six main network stations plus a few like very minor stations. Like,
right.
Well, I think what was open. I think one of the Spanish stations, like Univision, was open. One of the local religious channels was open.
I scanned them just the other day when I blew away all the cards.
These are standard F channels.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah. There's a handful of standard F channels. Mm-hmm. Same thing, the networks plus a few other ones.
Yeah.
You know. It's kind of disappointing, but what are you going to do?
Right.
It says, Riddlebox is in the RC and a lot of Linux links are RC. And he says, so Pat, will you have to have a digital box for every TV now? It depends. You know, you have a lot of people in your house. Like, do you have kids who want to watch their own shows and you want to go watch the game?
Mm-hmm.
Or watch the History Channel or Sci-Fi Channel while they're doing something else, watching Nickelodeon or the Cartoon Network? So that's really the choice.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to watch live, you know, cable programming at the same time? If you do, then you're going to need, you should have multiple boxes.
Right.
You know, you know what pisses me off, though, about the whole cable and satellite deal? Like, I've had both. I've had Dish Network. I've had DirecTV. I've had various cable setups. So when I was living in New York, I had Time Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I've had RCN and Service Electric, which is a small cable company that's in these parts. And it seems the satellite company, they encrypt everything, so you have to have a box for any channel that's getting programming. There's nothing open. So that's a real major limitation if you're like a MyTV person and you want to do satellite. Now, the quality of the pictures is quite good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen it on Dish Network and DirecTV, and the high def looks good. I mean, there's some compression artifacts and stuff. You know, nothing worse than, I think, the cable.
Right.
You know, I've seen over-the-air. Over-the-air looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. If you can get over-the-air HD digital, it looks damn great.
Right.
But the thing about the satellite versus the cable is it seems the satellite companies, their rates were a little higher. These are just my personal experiences. Mm-hmm. The satellite companies, their rates seem to be a little higher. They don't charge you for equipment. They do charge you for servicing. They'll send some, if you have like an issue and they send someone to your house, they will hit you up for service fee. That I've experienced that.
Don't you got to buy that equipment up front, though?
No, you don't buy the equipment.
I thought you did.
They usually give you that stuff.
Oh, really?
Usually what they do is if you want to get like a DVR and they're not running any specials, they might charge you.
Mm-hmm.
There is an extra monthly for their DVR service, but the cable company DVRs, it's the same deal.
Yeah.
They charge you a monthly fee on that.
Right.
Some of the other things with the satellite versus cable. The satellite companies, like almost every month or every other month, I would get coupons for free pay-per-view movies all the time. The cable... hardly ever.
I would get them, but I pay it online. I never actually send a bill into them, so I could never use them anyway. So,
I think I misunderstood Rindlebox's question. Yeah, you're gonna need a digital box.
Mm-hmm.
They're killing the analog cable feed.
Right.
The cable company, at least our cable company. You know, it varies from region to region, but this seems to be the network trend.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they're using this digital transition as an excuse to get rid of analog feeds.
Yeah.
And to shut down as much open channels as they can.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, at least RCN, I think it seems to be they're keeping the network stations open. You
that's
know?
About it.
CBS, yeah. NBC, ABC, PBS, CW.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Fox. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. It's like maybe six or seven channels.
And maybe
like
a couple of the, if you have like local stations, you know, that are not affiliates, like WFMZ was owned by us that we get, you know, and there's a couple of like religious stations that nobody ever watches.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad, but hey, you know, there are certain network shows that I record, that I watch. You know, I watch Fringe. I watched The Dollhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched up this week.
Lost. Yeah. Smallville, I still kind of watch once in a while. Heroes, I watch.
Mm-hmm.
That new show, Flash Forward or whatever.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
That looks
one.
Like that might be interesting. I was watching that Defying Gravity show on ABC. Unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be coming back. It wasn't a bad show, though. It seemed to be picking up.
I didn't seem to be interested in that.
It was
one.
A little slow in the beginning, but it seems to be a little better now. I mean, you look at The Dollhouse. The Dollhouse kind of sucked in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It got better as it went along.
Yeah, it did. It did.
You know, same thing with Fringe, too. Fringe was a little slow in the beginning, but it seemed to be like Monster of the Week in the beginning.
Which it's kind of funny. The ones that are slow to kind of start off, they usually end up getting canned like right away.
I know, it's amazing. If it's on Fox.
Yeah, it's amazing that some of these shows have actually outlived that first like 1 or 2 weeks. Because
there's some shows, man, that I got into and they just killed them. Like,
oh, yeah.
Journeyman, which was, was it Ian McKinn?
Mm-hmm.
It was the guy from...
Rome,
yeah. The English guy with the red hair. I don't know if he's Scottish or whatever, but he usually speaks with like an English accent.
Mm-hmm.
He was on that show, Journeyman, and that was a cool show. That was on NBC. And then there was...
You had a whole blog post about it.
Yeah, TV shows that get killed before. Jericho on CBS was a pretty cool show.
Mm-hmm.
It was like kind of like a post-apocalyptic, you know, U.S. gets nuked and 20 cities get hit. And then this little small town has to deal with it.
Right.
That got canceled, but there was like such an uproar from the community that, you know, they sent like thousands of tons of peanuts to the CBS network executives.
Oh,
and
really?
At least they brought it back for like half a season and they wrapped it up, which was kind of cool. At least they did that.
I think Family Guy is the only one that I've heard of that's been able to do that. Like, they got canceled and
come back.
And then came back. Although I hear like Futurama and whatnot's coming back now.
It was actually a movie. I haven't recorded. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
I think they're actually bringing back the show.
Their new episodes
in 2010 sometime. They're supposed to be doing it. But like, the fans getting such an uproar about it, and they actually, like Family Guy, they actually brought it back. I was kind of surprised. When that actually came back and stayed back, you know, and now it like is like won an Emmy or something like that, or has been nominated at least. So.
Yeah, it's amazing that The Simpsons is still on after all these years.
I know. We're what, 19 years now?
Yeah. Well, some of the other shows that I like to watch, let me see, I'm a heavy, if you look at my stats on my Mythbox, I watch a lot of like History Channel, a lot of Discovery Channel shows. I love like Dirty Jobs. Mm-hmm. I also love the Travel Channel. I'm into Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations, Bizarre
Man
Foods.
Food.
Man versus Food is basically it's a travel show for like three quarters of it.
Yeah.
And at the end, at one of these locations where he's, depending on what city he's in, he'll find a restaurant that has like some kind of a food challenge.
Yeah.
And they're usually pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he had one of this, I forget where it was. It was one of the recent episodes. They made these sandwiches that like crap piled on top.
Oh my god! Yeah,
and I'm like looking at him, like talking to my wife. I'm like, that doesn't look appealing to me. I don't want to eat that crap.
Mm-mm. Every time I turn it on, my wife looks at it and she goes, "Oh," she's like, "Every other thing, that's disgusting. Oh, that's disgusting."
Yeah, so I like it more for the actual information.
He's in Philly this week, though.
Is he? Yeah, he's probably going to be eating cheesesteaks.
Yeah, definitely. I think where is it? Tony Luke's has a cheesesteak challenge.
Yeah, that's a famous place. Yeah.
But he was in San Francisco a couple weeks ago. He did an ice cream challenge.
That was disgusting.
He needs to come to Center Valley because there's this little place called the Inside Scoop. There, they have this thing called the Volcano. He had what, like 6 or 8 scoops?
It's disgusting. This was a couple gallons of ice cream, 14 scoops
of ice cream and 8 toppings on top of that.
I would barf if I had that much
ice
cream. Yeah,
me too.
I mean, I like ice cream like anybody else, man, but that's just disgusting.
Yeah. I think it's made to share, but I'm pretty sure they can turn it into a challenge.
And like, it seems like a lot of these other challenges, sometimes, you know, they're spicy food related. They'll make it so hot just to make it hot. And,
the other one, he got through 2 wings just on Wednesday.
Yeah, he's like, this is the hottest stuff I've ever had. I like hot food. I'm a big fan of like Thai food, man.
Yeah,
I love Thai
food.
Me
too.
I also like, you know, really nice spicy buffalo wings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's just like ridiculously hot to the point where it like burns your mouth.
Yep.
Just putting it to your mouth.
Yeah.
It's not really that good. It's got to have some flavor, you know? So this is our bullshit episode this week. We're just basically, you know, doing little bits of, you know, bits and pieces before we go out to OLF.
That was the cooking segment, you know.
I like that. We're just talking about some of the shows we like to watch.
My stats I'm also big into
Sci-Fi Channel too. Like, I've been watching Warehouse 13.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. It's okay. It's decent for what else is out there.
Mm.
Eureka, I like that. That just wrapped up this past week.
How has it been since they changed over? Have they changed any content on? I haven't
you know,
watched anything on there lately.
Sci-Fi Channel kind of sucks for the most part. You know, they have like one or two original series that are like decent, and the rest of it kind of blows, which is kind of sad. You know, you think about what you can do. I'm a huge sci-fi fan.
Yeah, I am too.
You know, I grew up watching Star Trek back in the day. You know, I was a big fan of Star Wars. You know, I like science fiction. I've read some, you know, real known science fiction novels. I know, like Dune and the Dune series. A whole bunch of the other ones. I'm also a big fan of alternate reality books. One of my favorites is Harry Turtledove. He wrote a whole bunch of series. He had this one series. It was about basically what if the South had won the Civil War. And the history after that point, and literally it was like $10. I've read them all. And I'm a big fan of like alternate history type stuff too.
Yeah.
And sci-fi, you know, there's so much potential there. There's so many cool things they could do, but they just fail at it.
Mm-hmm.
And the most ridiculous thing that they did was they have wrestling on there now.
Do they really?
ECW, and it's like they're like, well, we're going to have like a science fiction theme, you know, storylines in the wrestling. I'm like, what is this crap?
Yeah.
It's
like when
sad.
Tech TV went away and it just
G4?
Like G4, yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
I think there's like maybe one show I ever watch on G4 ever.
I haven't turned it on since they switched over.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And occasionally when they do like their CES coverage, I might record those and just skim through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, occasionally they'll have something interesting in some new products that might sound cool and whatnot.
Right.
But overall, that station went down the tubes, Tech TV.
Oh, yeah.
Before that was ZDTVs, if they was...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sci-fi has been a big disappointment. The only new show that I'm really looking forward to from them is the Stargate Universe series, which is basically Star Trek. They're in a ship flying around the universe.
Yeah, right.
Our original. But it should be good. It sounds like they have a decent cast. They've got some decent writers in there. So it sounds like it's got some potential. Stargate Universe isn't too bad. Mm. You know, some people don't like Michael Dean Anderson. You know, they think he's a little too goofy. But,
yeah.
But some of the other stuff was decent. You know, Atlantis wasn't too bad. You know, I'm a little disappointed that Galactica's gone, but they're bringing back Caprica. Have you seen that pilot?
No, I haven't.
I haven't seen it either. It's floating around. You can probably, you know, they can watch it ahead of time.
Right.
And it sounds like it's more going to be like a soap opera type kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, set in some, you know, alternate place, you know.
So that's why I didn't look at that, what was the one, the gravity one you were talking about?
Defying Gravity.
They touted it as Grey's Anatomy in space, so I was
that's
like...
That's kind of lame.
Yeah, I was like, I just don't...
It's been a little decent.
I don't think I want to...
The main guy is Ron Livingston.
Yeah, you know? I like him, though. I mean, he's done
awesome.
A lot of good stuff.
He's done
stuff.
A lot of awesome stuff. He was in one of my favorite movies of all time.
Office Space. Right there, yeah.
Awesome movie. He was also in Band of Brothers. He played one of the officers in that.
That was a great
He's been in a lot
too.
Of good movies. He's a good actor. And that show was produced up in Canada. Mm. You looked at some of the actors on there, you probably recognize the three quarters of the people and just didn't know their names. Mm-hmm. They had like the one guy from Battlestar Galactica who was the guy who plotted to kill President Baltar.
Mm.
And there's a couple other actors that you've probably seen on Canadian shows, you know, that make it down here.
Right.
It's good. It looked like it was decent, you know, it looked like a fairly decent budget that they had on it. The effects were decent. It wasn't really an effects show. It was more, you know, a drama, whatnot.
Right.
And it looked like it had some potential. I think they're going to show maybe, I don't know, just maybe four or five episodes. And that's going to be the end of it. It's kind of sad that they just pulled the plug on it, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
There was another show that was very similar to that. It was called, Virtuosity or something? It was basically, they were in
that
a ship.
It was a movie, wasn't it?
No, what's Virtuosity? I forget the name of it. But it was very similar to Defying Gravity. It was like the ship, they're going on a long-range mission around the solar system, and then into deep space. And they had like this artificial intelligence in there, and it was fucking around with them.
Yeah.
And it kind of seemed similar to Defying Gravity.
Okay.
To a certain degree. Now, Defying Gravity, they seem to do a lot of focus on like, there's a lot of like, you know, like how Lost has like these flashbacks and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be a very popular trend now in a lot of TV
right.
shows.
Right.
You know, they'll be jumping around timelines and, you know, going back 5 years or whatever, 2 years or whatever. You know, it gets a little confusing if you're not following it all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Our Loss is coming back. I'm very psyched for that.
I'm excited for the last season of that, too. Yeah.
Yeah. The last season was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I got into Loss very late. Like, Sci-Fi was running a marathon. Mm-hmm. And I watched like the first like 2.5 seasons of it, 3 seasons of it. And I really got into it. I mean, this is like between the seasons. And me and my wife really got addicted to it. We really got into it. And
I was kind of that way too. I saw the original promos for it. I'm like, they're just on an island. I mean, are they trying to reinvent Gilligan's Island or something like that? You know, what is this going to be?
It's Survivor with a sci-fi twist.
And then everybody was going like, everyone was going nuts about it. These guys that listen to the radio, Preston and Steve.
People at work talking about it.
Download their podcast, by the way, people. They it's hilarious. It's on WMMR. It's a radio show on WMMR.
And they just make the shows available.
The whole show is available for download. But they are hilarious. And they used to always have this segment on it talking about it. I'm like, my God, give it up already. And then I, you know, over the summertime after it was done, I just said, you know what, let me just go out, I'm gonna get the DVDs, try it out and see. And after that I was like, wow, this is my wife too, we were both like, this is great, you know, we want to really get into this.
Yeah. And the last season was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was definitely
really good. They went back into the past.
Yep.
Spoiler.
Yep.
They went back in time to the island during 1976, 77.
77, yeah. 70s. I think I was born. I was born right then when they went back in time. It was almost, I think it was almost to the date.
Yeah. One of the guys goes back and sees himself as a baby. Isn't there some kind of thing where if you like meet yourself?
Yeah, like, yeah.
The universe will implode.
What's it? From Back to the Future, yeah. Right? You know?
What happens if you like run into yourself?
Yeah.
But there's some decent Heroes. A lot of people hate it. They say it sucks.
I
think
Heroes.
It's pretty cool. I don't know.
It's only going to be a half season this year because it's going to be replaced by Chuck in the turn there.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
I like Chuck though too. You know,
Chuck is like okay once in a while. I haven't really got into it that much. You know, I've seen an episode here and there. It looked like it's really, you know,
it's good. I like it. It's a geeky show.
Light,
you know,
light entertainment.
Yeah,
you know, it seemed decent. And what else? Some of the other shows. Some of these other shows that they brought back, a lot of these remakes have been really bad. Like, they had Knight Rider. That was atrocious.
I had a lot of hope for it. After seeing the pilot for it, I was like, okay, they could really do something here. And then they completely turned it all around, and I didn't care for that. So.
Yeah, it was crap.
Yeah. I like that car, though. That car was pretty awesome.
Did you see the Bionic Woman remake?
No, I think I saw the first episode of it, and I was just like, I don't think this is going to work.
The girl was hot. There was this English chick doing her best fake American accent.
Yeah.
She was pretty cute looking. Yeah, the show was It was okay.
Yeah.
You know, but they killed it, unfortunately. And that was,
that was a short one, too. I think it only lasted like 3 weeks or something like that. 3 or 4 weeks.
I think the shortest show ever was that King show that I talked about in my blog.
2 weeks or something like that?
No, it got canceled after like a month. They put it on hiatus, and they brought it back over the summer. And I watched the end of the season. And it was kind of a shame. It looked like it had some decent potential.
Yeah.
You know, I had the guy from Deadwood,
Ian
McShane, who,
I just watched him in a movie called Death Race. It was actually pretty good.
That's a remake, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a remake. Yeah.
Did you ever watch
No, I never saw the original.
I've seen the original. The original was Death Race 2000, and it had David Carradine as a character called Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And
this was about it, Frankenstein.
And some of the other guys, basically, you know, they go racing across, you know, some bleak future, and they get points for running people over.
Yep.
And,
They actually had gun, like missile launchers and machine guns.
The new one's probably cooler. Yeah. I mean, the old original one was from like the 70s, mid-70s.
Yeah.
And it was very low budget. It was a very cheap movie, but it was still an entertaining movie.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone was in it as Joe Paterbo.
Oh, okay.
He was one of the guys racing, you know.
Jason Statham was the guy in this one.
He's pretty cool.
He took over the Frankenstein role, so.
Right.
The original Frankenstein
I gotta rent that.
Died. Yeah, it's on demand, so you can get, I think it's right on HBO on demand if you have, you don't usually.
I don't have HBO.
Yeah.
But that's one I'm probably into renting.
It was pretty good.
Mindless entertainment.
Yeah, it was. It was mindless. You know, my wife she had to work or something like that. So I was like,
perfect.
All right, you know, I'm just going to, you know, my girls are asleep. So I'm like, hey, I'm just going
to,
you know,
I don't think my wife would be one to watch.
No.
The original, I remember, like, they would go driving past, like, you know, the nursing homes and they put the old people out there to, you know, accumulate points. It's really bad.
No, this was pretty much you against the other guys. You had a navigator from a women's prison, and it was the two of you. Whoever won 5 races got out, but they kept killing off the guy. I don't want a guy. If you're in a rent, I'm not going
to. I remember the original, so it's probably not that much different. It's probably, you know, better effects, different story.
Much better effects, yeah.
Usually the remakes suck.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at
honestly, I'm under the impression that there is nothing new to make out there because everything that is coming out of Hollywood nowadays is all remakes. So I'm not happy about it because they don't need to remake things. Okay, when I was a kid, The Karate Kid was a big movie. I really enjoyed it. Now they're remaking it. Okay,
really?
Why do they need to remake it? They're remaking it with Will Smith's son and Jackie Chan. Okay, I could see where he could take on a good Mr. Miyagi type of role. But honestly, do they really need to remake this movie? I don't think so.
No, there really is no point to it.
No, there isn't.
The thing is, like, you know, remakes, I can understand them doing a remake if it's a real old movie that's very dated and they've changed it around. But if they're going to do that, it's got to be good. Like, for instance, Rollerball, which was a cool movie from the 70s with James Caan. And it was like this, you know, this future where they had
that,
like...
See, I didn't know that one was a remake when it just came out.
The remake was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible. Yeah. Piece
was
of crap
LL
movie.
Cool J
it was LL Cool J and one of the guys from
American Pie, right?
Yeah, American Pie. And it was awful.
Yeah.
The original was better. I have the original DVD, and while it's very dated, it's still a very entertaining movie. James Caan is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got some action. You know, it's like a roller derby, and they're on motorcycles, and they throw the ball into the thing. And it's supposed to be like a future / gladiatorial, you know, future sport kind of thing. There's no more wars. All the corporations have taken over, and this is the bread and circuses, you know, the competition between cities, city-states. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, it's entertaining. You know, there's some interesting concepts in it, but the remake was just horrible most of the time. You know, they pick up these movies and it's like, what the point? What the F, you know?
Yeah.
You know, did you see like the remakes of Friday the 13th?
No, I didn't want to. Honestly, I like the original ones.
Halloween?
Actually, I saw the Rob Zombie one. I didn't see all of it. I saw most of it, but that was decent, you know. I enjoyed that one because it's not necessarily a remake, more or less like a reinvent type thing,
right? Reimagine.
You know, because they went down a, you know, with that one particularly, they went down a completely different route, going from the time when he was a kid up until what made him what he was. Because they almost, if I remember it correctly, it's been a long time since I'd seen the original ones. A lot of that was kind of glossed over in a sense, so.
Right.
That was you know, like a reimagining of all that, you know, kind of showing how he got to there, you know.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. They are coming out with some sequels of movies from like the 80s and whatnot. They're coming with a sequel to The Last Starfighter.
Oh, are they really?
The Last Starfighter.
Oh, I did hear that.
The Last Starfighter was really innovative. It was the first computer-generated movie.
Right.
And it's dated, but it's still amazing looking for what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And you hear about what was involved to produce that. You know, the amount of, you know, the computers at the time were very limited. It really literally took them like years to you know.
Yeah.
generate all that graphics, right, and whatnot.
They are doing another Ghostbusters movie too, with the same people.
Okay. Really?
This isn't a remake. This is another sequel.
I think what I heard about the Ghostbusters movie, it's going to be like, you know, they're passing their torch down to like their children or something.
Oh, really?
So they'll be in it, but they're like not going to be doing all the dirty work.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be all new people. You know, what, new roles?
Yeah.
So that might work. And might not.
I did also hear that another Indiana Jones is also in the works too.
What do you think of that last one? It had some potential.
It did.
It seemed to be pretty good up towards like the end, I think. Last like 20 minutes of the movie kind of sucked.
Yeah, but I almost looked at it as it's a way to pass it off onto to Shia LaBeouf from now. You know what I mean?
I don't know. What do you think of the Transformer movies? I didn't see the second one.
I haven't seen the second one yet. No, I have
the first one in HD DVD. It looks great.
Oh, I you know what? I when I was a kid, I loved Transformers. Between my brother and my neighbor and I, we had every single one of those things. I liked it for the sheer, you know, sentimental value of it. You know, the nostalgia and everything. So say what you will about that, you know, the storylines or this or that or whatever, but you know what? Just to see those damn robots out there, you know, changing on the fly.
They look
and
great.
Fight. Oh my God, it was awesome.
Man,
yeah.
Robot porn.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
robot action.
And they say that the second one is literally just the Transformers running around.
Bashing the shit out of each other.
Yeah, beating the shit out of each other. And there's literally nothing to the story. You know, that may be, but you know what? I'm still going to get that movie and I'm going to watch it. I'll watch it over and over again.
I will too. So,
I loved it. I did. I loved it. After the first one, the first movie came out, I never saw the original movie back in, what, 86 it was? I went out and found it online and download. I think it's even on my Mythbox now. But, you know, I mean, the one where Prime dies and everything, right, you know, and it passes over to Rodimus and everything. So I just, you know, this was like 2 years ago. I'm watching this, you know, this cartoon from the 80s, you know what I mean? So.
My son, he likes the new version, which is from Japan, and he likes it. And,
yeah.
I told him, you know, that they had the old episodes on YouTube, so we watched it, and he got bored. He goes, "Daddy, I'm bored."
But look at the Wikipedia page for that, because there are so many iterations of that, and there's always the same, like, somehow the same, like, Optimus Prime and Megatron are always kind of the two going back and forth at each other, no matter what iteration it is, these Beast ones.
Yeah, the Beast Wars
one. You know, yeah, I mean, there are so many different iterations, even some that just appeared in Japan and only, you know, I mean, still the same concept is there between the two of them, so it's kind of interesting, you know, I mean, I didn't realize that the franchise kind of kept going, we just never heard about it, you know, in some cases.
The big question that I want answered is, when is the Thundercats live-action movie coming out?
I heard that that's in the works, so.
Well, there is a fan-created trailer for one, and it looks actually very good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That would be awesome. I haven't seen that
one. It looks really good.
But that was another show that when I was a kid, that was just great. I loved
the Thundercats. The fan-created one looks awesome. Mm-hmm. If they had the money, that would be an awesome movie.
Oh, yeah. That would
That's
be.
The thing, you know. A lot of times, you know, they come up with these projects, you know, they push it to these, you know, these studio executives, you know, everybody gets their hooks into it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to push it in all different directions.
Yep.
It just gets watered down to like crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of sad. Yeah. You know, whereas if you get like a project going and it's a labor of love by somebody, it's a huge difference what comes out at the other end.
Right.
You know, it's kind of sad, but that's reality. Like, for instance, you ever watched the Star Trek fan stuff?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there was some of that stuff that's really good. Even the effects and everything like that are amazing with it.
The New Voyages was a bunch of guys up in upstate New York,
mm-hmm.
I think in Monticello, so in that area, the Hudson Valley,
mm-hmm.
and phenomenal stuff. They just nailed it. You know, they love it, and you could tell that, you know, the heart's there. They actually got a lot of the original Star Trek writers and some of the people involved. They got a bunch of the actors in there. They've had guest episodes with George Takei was in it. They had another
Michelle Nichols I've seen.
Walter
in
Koenig.
Yeah, Walter Koenig. What's his name? Cameron from... He was in an episode.
He was in one of the movies, actually.
Yeah, or one of the movies he was in...
He was like the Excelsior.
Genesis, wasn't it? Wasn't it Genesis?
I think he was like the second in command of the Excelsior or something.
No, he was captain of the one where they christened it and Kirk died.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an Excelsior class Enterprise.
Right,
is what it was,
right. It was like the Enterprise C, D, whatever.
B, wasn't it?
Whatever.
B, yeah. So, but I saw, actually, I think I saw one that had like all of those people in it in the same movie.
Yeah, they actually produced another one on their own. That one's called, what was it called? Of Gods and Something.
Yeah.
Gods and Men, I think it was. I have it downloaded.
Something like that, yeah.
Gods and Men. And basically, it's like a time travel.
I'll have to go check
story.
Them out again. It's been a while since I looked at them.
That was just a one-off mm-hmm. one. But the Star Trek New Voyages, they do it sporadically. I think they come out with like one or two a year.
Yeah.
And they've come out with maybe half a dozen episodes.
There's a lot of good Star Wars ones, too, where people have actually got the effects down, where they're actually doing lightsaber battles. They're running around doing this and that stuff. They were pretty good, too. I watch a bunch of them on YouTube.
It's impressive, though, what mm-hmm. people can do on their own.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's pretty amazing what people can do.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you know, a lot of the video editing stuff and computer graphics stuff, you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
I mean,
just got to know the right tools.
I mean, Blender. Blender is a phenomenal piece of software, mm-hmm. man. Go to the Blender Foundation website. And, you know, these are the guys that did Big Book Bunny, Elephant mm-hmm. Dream. And they're actually coming out with a live-action movie.
Are they?
That's going to have, like, regular effects mm-hmm. for, like, an action movie. It's called, the codename is Project Dorian, you know, like that stinky fruit from Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a live-action action movie.
I'll have to check that one out, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I've talked to those guys before, and they're a good bunch. They're mostly the Blender Foundation is based in the Netherlands in Amsterdam,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the guys are involved in the project are all from all around the world.
Right,
and it's a pretty amazing piece of software. You can download Blender, no cost, any Linux distribution. I think they have versions that run on OS X too, mm-hmm. Windows, and you can do amazing stuff with it. You know, you can do computer animation effects.
Right.
Just amazing stuff.
Right.
Just amazing stuff. And if you want to learn computer graphics, man, definitely check out Blender. Pick up one of those Blender books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually at the last Ohio Linux Fest. We met one of the guys. We interviewed him. It was Rob Hess, I think. He wrote like one of the main Blender books.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Roland Hess. And it was pretty cool, man, talking to him. Some of these applications that have like these complex interfaces, Adore is like one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The first time you open up that application, I'm pointing to Adore on my monitor here. You look at it and there's 50 million buttons. And
right.
Like, what the hell, man? Where mm-hmm. do I start?
Yep.
You know, Blender, it's the same kind of deal. You open it up and it's all these buttons and switches and these little panels and you're just overwhelmed by it at mm-hmm. first, But the thing is, if you want to do a complex task, you need a complex interface.
Exactly.
Video rendering, video editing, audio recording, audio editing for like, not so much like something simple like Audacity,
mm-hmm.
but for like real multi-tracking type stuff, recording.
Right.
You're going to record a symphony, you need something that can be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Adore is an application like that that can do it. Same thing with Blender. You can do a full computer animated movie with that thing. They've done, Big Buck Bunny and the other ones.
Right.
It's capable of doing it. The big thing for it is when they do the actual rendering. Where they have like the textures and whatnot.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of processing power.
Right,
Once they have the actual movie in full resolution, high def, and they need to do the actual rendering for the actual movie and finish it with the textures and whatnot, that's where the heavy processing you need.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like these huge render forms doing it, where everything is, just linked together, a big cluster, and it just pushes, churns, and does it. But for basic like animation, you learn the interface and doing the animations and the wireframing and all that. You could just put it on, a modestly powered workstation with a decent graphics card and you can go to town, man. You can learn a lot. I know like the proprietary commercial apps like that, like Maya and whatnot, they're expensive applications.
They
cost thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's great about, free and open source software is, you can download the source code, compile it, or if you just want to use it, it's there, and there's no restrictions on it.
Didn't Linux Journal have a thing on it a while back? They actually, it was in a movie, a mainstream movie that was out.
What, they used Blender?
Wasn't it Blender they were using?
I don't know.
It was on the cover. I remember the article and what I...
A lot of these studios, what they do is they do have like Linux-based cluster farms, and they are using a lot of tools, like the workstations are Linux-based.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, they're in-house coded.
Right.
And they're proprietary, and they don't share it with anybody. They have their own set of tools that they use themselves just for their own people.
Right.
And a lot of them are like that. It makes sense that, they're going to Linux, back in the day, you would have to spend $10,000 on a Unix workstation where you can get now for mm-hmm. less than $1,200,
a
pretty beefy machine.
Oh, yeah.
That does the same thing that $10,000 Unix work Sun box
mm-hmm.
did.
Yep.
Or HP box, whatever they used at the time.
Right.
And it does the same thing. It just makes sense for them. It can handle it. It's powerful. It just makes sense, So basically, for OLF is coming up this weekend.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Less than 7 days away.
Yeah.
We're gonna get up wee early on Friday morning and drive.
Very early.
It's gonna be a 9-hour drive.
Yep.
And
My brother made a good point to me today. He's like, just make sure there's not an Ohio State game going on in Columbus.
I think there is.
Yeah, but you know, we should be pretty good. If we're getting in the day before, we're going to be at the same hotels where the conference roughly in
yeah,
the same vicinity.
Yeah, there's three hotels connected to the convention center.
Yeah.
And now we're not at the official one now is the Hyatt. We're not staying at the Hyatt. We're staying at the Drury, which is a little cheaper. And that's where we stayed the last 3 years. And I always liked the Drury. The rooms are nice. They're clean. You know, they give you a nice breakfast in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The staff is pretty good. It's
right.
A nice place. Free internet. What's you know, what not to love?
Right.
You know, Hyatts have always... They've always, like, nickel and dimed you. You know, it's supposed to be, like, a high-end hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And any Hyatt that I've ever studied, they nickel and dime you for freaking everything.
Yeah.
I don't like that. You know, if I'm going to spend money and go to, like, a nicer hotel, you know, don't nickel and dime me.
Right, right.
You know, the Four Seasons doesn't do that.
Yeah.
I went to the Four Seasons on my honeymoon. Mm. We went to Hawaii, me and my wife, and we went first class the whole way through, man, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
We stayed at the Four Seasons on Maui.
That's
and we
nice.
Went to the Big Island. We still did the Four Seasons. And then the only hotel that wasn't Four Seasons was on Oahu. We went to the Hanakalani, mm-hmm. which is still a nice hotel, but it's not the same.
Right, right.
Four Seasons was amazing.
I'll have to keep that in mind. We're looking to head out there for our 10-year anniversary.
Private, Hawaii's mm-hmm. awesome, man. Private beach with, like, their own lagoon for snorkeling.
Right. That's awesome.
You know, wait staff coming to you on the beach.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Serving you lunch, giving you rubdowns. I mean, it's... I'm not a rich person, man. Mm. You know, I'm a middle class working stiff, you know. Yeah. And but this was my honeymoon, and you know, we wanted to go first class, and it was an awesome time.
Right.
Hawaii is a beautiful place, man. It's paradise, really. Mm. One of my favorite places I've ever been to, and I've been to Europe and other places, you know.
Right.
And those places are great, you know. But Hawaii's there's a reason why the Japanese back in World War II, when they wanted to take over Hawaii. They didn't win the war, but they're still there.
Yeah.
Seriously, if you go there's a lot of Japanese people. They love Hawaii.
Yeah.
They just love it, you know, and it's a good reason why. It's an amazing place.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. The thing is, it's so damn far away.
Yeah. It takes like 3 days to get there.
Oh,
from here.
That's a bit of an exaggeration.
No, actually, one of the places we looked at Tahiti going to, and that's literally like a three-day trip.
Yeah, Tahiti's literally on the other side of the planet.
Yeah, because you have to go from here... to Los Angeles, to Australia, and then up. There's no flight. At least at the time there was, and this is, you know,
what
six
is it, like,
years ago,
30-hour flight,
something like that. Yeah, but you'd have to go to the West Coast and then down to Australia and then up to Tahiti, so or Fiji. I think it was Fiji, maybe one of the two. But that was at the time. Maybe it's
Hawaii
different now,
on a direct flight's about 13 hours from the East Coast of the U.S.
Whew.
And if you get a layover like in California, usually they'll stick you like in San Jose or San Francisco or in L.A. somewhere. And
yeah.
You know, that'll make the trip longer, but
direct
it's about 13 hours, but it's worth it.
It's a rough flight.
Yeah, we were there for 14 days, and then we also stayed in San Francisco on the way back for 3 days, and we had a great time. It was just a blast. You know, we were thinking about going to Italy. You know, Italy is a beautiful country. I'd love to go there, but for the honeymoon, we opted to go to Hawaii, and it was a great time. And actually, I met somebody. I forget who it was. What did I run into? I can't even remember. So long ago. I've been married now 9 years. Me and my wife just had our anniversary. And I tell you, man, it goes by quick. Anyhow, Ohio Linux Fest is coming up. People, go. It's going to be a blast. If you're into Linux, definitely go. It's a great place to hang out. You'll meet a lot of the people that you probably know in IRC and bulletin boards and whatnot. Great community. That's the best thing about the Ohio Linux Fest, it's a community. You know, one of the things that really drew me to the whole Linux scene was, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I was into the whole early computing scene. You know, and there was just like a sense of hacking and sharing information and everything. And that kind of died out with once, you know, like the early computers died out, the old Ataris, the old Commodores, you know, the early days of Apple and trash 80s and whatnot. You know, that kind of died out, you know, once the PCs kind of took over and that was the end of that. But the Linux community is probably the closest thing to that feeling. And it really is a great community. People willing to share, people talk about elitism, counter-elitism, you know, RTFM. I've never experienced that, and I've been part of this community for over 10 years now, and I've never seen that. Everybody I've met has been nice to me, you know. And mm-hmm. you go to Ohio Linux Fest, man, you're going to meet a lot of nice, smart, intelligent people. It's a great time.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of different topics. They're going to have some very good speakers. We're going to try to do a MIT-TV BOF. I've registered for it. I also registered for an Android BOF, too. I don't know if they're going to get approved. They're going to list them. I think middle of the week,
mm-hmm.
a couple of days before.
Right.
So hopefully we'll at least get MIT-TV. I think MIT-TV will be very popular.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
About 3 years ago when I went, they had a guy from Novellin. He did a demo on the TV, and the place was packed.
Mm-hmm.
He had easily 300-400 people in there.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very good presentation. I forgot the guy's name, but, you know, people are interested in it.
You should have a good in with Beth Lynn now, too, to get that on there. So.
Yeah, it was. We just did the month of Beth Lynn on the tech show. I'm kidding. We love you, Beth Lynn. Yeah. The month of Beth Lynn.
Yeah.
We have a good relationship with the Highlings Fest people. Very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been good to us. And any way we can help them out, we'll do it. So, everybody, if you're going to be going to Highlings Fest, please come over to the tech show table. I'll be there.
I'll be there.
I'll point out Dan. You know, hopefully we'll do the MIT TV buff. It'll be a good time. I think we're going to wrap it up, you know, because we really didn't have a lot of topics.
Yeah.
The new release of 22 is coming out, MIT TV 22. That's going to be a big deal.
Looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it also.
It's in the Mythbuntu repo already. So Alpha 6 just dropped.
I'm running Alpha 6 on this laptop.
Yeah.
Karmic. And it's nice. It's real nice.
I'm looking forward to it, yeah. I got to update my VM so I can, you know, play with that.
The Intel stuff has been fixed finally.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Good. For 6 months we've been freaking dealing with that nonsense. Yeah. My laptop, I have a Dell XPS 1330 with an Intel graphics card, and it looks beautiful again.
Hmm.
It's got all the compositing and everything.
Right.
Yeah. I got the wireless cards. Actually, this setup, what we're doing now, because we're streaming tonight, one of the things I wanted to do was test my mobile setup. I have an AT&T Sierra wireless broadband card. I used it last year, and it worked out great, and I'm using the same kind of setup again. I have a little USB external audio card, because most laptops, the onboard audio sounds like crap.
Mm-hmm.
So a little cheap USB external sound card does wonders for you.
Right.
Mixer, I'm going to have Allen has it. It's a smaller version of this. It's like a 6-channel Behringer. You know, Behringer makes nice stuff. We'll bring the mics. We'll bring a couple stands. We're planning on Friday night before, we're doing a podcasting boff. And it's going to be a whole bunch of our friends and other guys from Linux Cranks, a whole bunch of other shows. You know, it's gonna be a real good time. We'll hang out, we'll talk, we'll shoot the breeze. I plan on streaming that. One of our friends, Randy Noseworthy, he's getting married actually at the buff. It's pretty funny. And I was actually talking to Lord Drakenbull because he's in the IRC, and he's saying that Lord Drakenbull's going to be one of the officiants. He's a confirmed minister, and he's going to be doing the ceremony for Randy and his future wife. And he got Mad Dog involved, Mad Dog Hall, and. The thing is, Matt, he was Lord Drakenbull was talking to me. I spoke to him on the phone, and he's like, Mad Dog wants to dial in and be a part of the ceremony. He's going to be in Brazil. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I can stream it. I know how to do that. Yeah, we got a mixer. The problem is, you know, if he's going to be on a cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can pipe it into the mixer, but no one's going to hear him. Got to get a PA.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You're going to have to get a PA.
Right.
So I'm not shelling out for a PA. If the Ohio Lynx Fest people want to get a PA, they're more welcome to track. If you want to do it, man, go ahead. I'm not doing it. I'm not paying for a PA. You know, PA is expensive. I've been in bands and stuff, you know, back in the day, and renting them is not cheap.
Mm.
You know, if you know someone, you have a buddy who's like a DJ or something, or in a wedding band, maybe that's the way to go.
There you go.
So that's up in the air whether or not... Mad Dog from, you know, over the phone from Brazil is going to be involved, but we'll see. At the very least, we'll have a little ceremony for Randy and his new wife, and congrats to those guys. It'll be a good time.
Somebody could just sit on the phone and yell out everything he says.
That's what I told them, you know, just, you know, get the phone and stick it into the mic, and we'll hear it that way, I guess. But Saturday, we're going to be streaming most of the day. You know, as far as guests and whatnot, I'm just going to be grabbing people. That's how these festivals are. There's people just walking around and grab somebody. People famous, not so famous. We'll talk to a whole bunch of people, and it'll be good. Last year, I had a great time, and we streamed it live for the first time that year. You know, we had been to it a couple times. I mean, we just did recordings and stuff, but doing it live is definitely it brings up the ante a little bit, and I think I like the live element. I think people shine or sink in the live thing. If you can't pull it off live, you know, doing the recordings and hiding behind, it's easy. Doing it live is really where you're tested.
Right.
And I'm happy to do it, and I'm glad that, you know, we have plenty of friends who are willing to contribute and help us out and participate. It'll be a great time.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is your first Ohio Lynx Fest.
Yes, yeah, right. I'm really
excited.
Have
you been to any Lynx Festival before?
No, I haven't. There's nothing really around here.
The Lehigh Valley Lug, back in the day, we used to rent out a van and go to the Linux World Expo in New York. We did that a bunch of years.
Right.
And then after they moved up the boss, and we stopped doing it, obviously, because I was far away. But yeah. Me and guys from the tech show, we went up there 2 years. The first year, we just went up there by ourselves just to hang out and check it out. And the second year, we actually were in a .org pavilion. It wasn't a bad show. It was like a three-day thing during the week. The thing with that was, this is a commercial show. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people there because they're paid to do for the jobs.
Yeah, right.
These community shows are way better. If you had a choice between, like, I know they changed the Linux World Expo show to Open Source World, and it was in San Francisco. And I heard it sucked. I know several people in London, they said it was horrible. Go to these community events. You know, events like Ohio Linux Fest, Southeast Linux Fest, Northwest Linux Fest, Scale, Atlantic Linux Fest, which is a new one. That was actually this past weekend.
Yeah, the 12th, was it?
It was this past weekend, was it? The
19th?
Yeah, 19th yesterday. Yeah. It was the 20th. And shows like that, Ontario Linux Fest, Florida Linux Fest, you know, these are cool shows, man. You know, very community, grassroots oriented. Yeah, there is a little bit of commercial stuff in there, but you know what? It's minimal compared to one of the, you know, like the Linux World Expo shows, which was all corporate in your face, you know. Night and day.
Yeah.
Great time. So, highly recommend it. If anyone's in a reasonable driving distance of Columbus, Ohio, definitely go. It's a free event. They do have like a paid thing. I think it's like $65, and they give you a T-shirt, and you can get your name in the drawings. They have a big drawing at the end.
Right.
But you don't have to do that. You know, you can just walk in. But if you do just walk in and not pay, just register at the front desk so they know how many people are there.
Right.
And that's very important to them, so they get a gauge of, you know, how they're trending, whether or not they get more people in the following year. So even if you don't pay, please register on the day of the show. They know that you're there. And I think that's about it. So if we do the BOF, if the Myth TV BOF does get approved, I think we could just record it with the little handhelds, maybe Nokia's or my little Sansa Clip or whatever.
Right.
Does fairly decent recordings. We could do that. And if we get a recording out of that, maybe we can post it on the feed. Or if not, we could just put it on maybe Hacker Public Radio.
Right.
We could do that. I think that's probably what's going to happen with the podcaster BOF. We'll put that on the Hacker Public Radio feed.
Right.
But the tech show stuff we'll do on the tech show feed. So Saturday stuff will be all on the tech show feed. And that's about it. So everybody who's going to Ohio, we will see you this weekend. Sorry it was a little brief and the topics were kind of watered down this week. But, hey, we wanted to do a show. If we didn't do it this weekend, we wouldn't have done it next weekend.
Right.
So that means you wouldn't get a show within 5 weeks.
Right.
So I figure if we do a show 2 weeks, maybe throw in a BOF the following week, next weekend. And then the week after that, we'll do a real recording. Hopefully, MIT TV 022 is out.
Right.
And I'll have some stuff on the HD Home Run. I'll have it in my possession. Maybe I can do like a walkthrough.
Right.
How to set it up and whatnot.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty informative. So, you know, a little light this week, but things will get going. Everybody, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.